Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Network. Pro football full circle.
Circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle!
Buckle up. Week 14 is here. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz getting you prepared for the weekend. Nothing better. A lot of news and notes to get into in terms of that Sunday night action between Green Bay and the Chicago Bears. Bears do get back Allen Robinson for that matchup. Green Bay will be without their wide receiver, Randall Cobb. He does have a core injury. Line really moved in favor of Green Bay. Opened up as an 11.5-point favorite. Now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's up to 12. George and I are going to go down the complete list for Week 14 starting on Sunday. But, George, that ball game in Minneapolis, the Minnesota Vikings did it again. 29-point first-half spot, basically, on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It looked like Pittsburgh was dead and buried. But in the end, Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers were in a position to tie that ball game up. They lose on the last play of the game. Pat Freiermuth drops a potential game-tying touchdown, a dynamic performance by Dalvin Cook. He returned 205 yards on the ground, couple of touchdowns. But in the end, Zimmer and the crew were on life support heading into the final minute of that ball game.
Oh, you're exactly right. Were they thrilled when that final gun went off there. That was unbelievable. Right, the first half, the Steelers' defense looked like it was you, me, you know, everybody else at Sports Grid trying to tackle Dalvin Cook. Going right through us. I mean, no problem, right? I mean, come on, Joe, those holes were massive. I mean, massive holes in that Pittsburgh defensive line there. And Cook coming back from the shoulder injuries and a harness. He may not be able to play the entire game. Instead, he has a career game. And I listen, we see this a lot in the NFL and really sports in general. Once you get up to that big lead, you think the game's over. You lose that edge, you lose the momentum, you lose the adrenaline, whatever it might be, and Pittsburgh got back into the game. And listen, if Claypool doesn't do that little celebration there and the final drive when you have no timeout, you're doing a celebration after a catch, you cost the Steelers, I would say, 5 to 7 seconds, at least one more play. At least one more play to try and tie that game up. If not for that, we might still be playing this game.
And it's not just the first time that Ben Roethlisberger and Pittsburgh came from behind. Remember that Sunday night ball game where they trailed Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers 27-10. They made a massive fourth quarter comeback to lead that ball game with about 2 minutes left before Mike Williams did give the Chargers the lead and win in that matchup by 4 points. Ben Roethlisberger, he was sacked early and often. It wasn't just the defensive line, George. It was the offensive line against the front seven in Minnesota that got multiple quarterbacks quarterback sacks and pressures on Ben Roethlisberger. That offense was one-dimensional. But yet again, they made adjustments, found a way to get themselves back in it. And I actually thought they were a live dog in that ball game heading into the fourth quarter. The biggest question I want to ask you, do you blame Tomlin when the score was basically 29-14 and he scores the touchdown to go for two at that particular time? Because they don't get it. It doesn't becomes 29-20 on the following possession. Kirk Cousins hits Osborne on basically a 65-yard touchdown to give them the 16-point lead. Any problem with Tomlin going for two when they were down 29-14?
You know, Joe, I'm on In-Game Live last night with Scott Wetzel and Joe Ranieri, and we discussed this, but not a 29-14. This one was still 29-0 about whether or not Tomlin should go for two at that point. They made it 29-6, and we're debating this. You know, I think old-school thinking is, no, you wait. You don't go for two until you have to, right? So you'd wait until it's 29-20 or even 29-27, right, to tie it up. And that's old school. Game theory, new game theory, this is not all that new. It's been going up the past couple of years, tells you that you should do it as soon as possible. So, no, I don't blame him at 29-14. And the reason is because if you make it, okay, great, you're on track. But if you don't make it, you need to know because you may have to coach differently now. If you wait till the very end, yeah, great if you talk, but if you don't make it, game's over. You have nothing else you could have done. So game theory says you should do it earlier. This way you know, okay, we didn't make it. Now we need two more possessions. That sort of thing. That's why game theory tells you that. So I don't blame him for that. I think that's just the new school of thinking now, that you should go for it early so you know in case you don't get it. So no.
And at the end of the day, it was still only two scores, right? They score, they go up, they're up 16. You still need two touchdowns and two-point conversions at that point, and they almost pulled it off. I think if Minnesota loses that game or that game goes to OT and somehow Ben pulls that ball game out in overtime, Zimmer's gone. At that particular time, he's dead and buried. And I can't figure this team out because they are such a helter-skelter team. Just when you think they're not going to step up, they just dominate the first half. I mean, where was that performance against the Detroit Lions last week? They just walked through the motions and allowed Detroit to go right down the field in the fourth quarter.
I mean, that's when you watch that game, that's what's amazing. You watch the first half, you're thinking, how the hell did Detroit beat Minnesota last week? You watch the second half, you're like, how the hell did the Steelers tie Detroit a few weeks ago? It's true, right? I mean, how does this happen here? How does Detroit's going to determine which one of these teams make the playoffs? That tie could cause Pittsburgh, and that loss almost certainly will cause Minnesota.
Yeah, Pittsburgh at 6-6-1, and Vikings at 6-7 overall. When we come back, we'll dive right into the Week 14 action. We'll start it off with that battle in Kansas City coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz locked and loaded for week number 14. Started with that battle in Minneapolis, which we just broke down. But the Raiders are on the road, George, to face Pat Mahomes and a red-hot Kansas City team that has just dominated teams five straight. The Chiefs have won. Just that defense has stepped up, become opportunistic, did it again on Sunday night against the Denver Broncos, picking up that victory 22-9 as an 8.5-point favorite. Now they're laying 10 at home against Derek Carr and the crew. We know that they got blown out. The Raiders did a few weeks ago on Sunday night. We're catching about 2.5 points. It was a 3-point game at the half. DeSean Jackson dropped. Well, I shouldn't say dropped. He caught and then fumbled a potential tying touchdown pass. That changed the momentum. Honey Badger did recover that, and Kansas City ran away with basically a 20-plus win on the road. Now they come back home. This line opened up at 8.5. It's up to 10 right now, and a lot of money coming in on Kansas City. I understand the weather might be a little bit colder in Arrowhead this weekend, but you know what? It's the Raiders. It's a divisional opponent. I know Denver couldn't step up, but I think Derek Carr and the crew do. Might not win, but I'm going to take them on the road plus the 10 points in this ballgame.
I want to as well. All right, so I want to be there with you. I truly do. Problem is, they've lost four of their last five games. The only team they beat were the Cowboys. Man, how does that happen? You know, I mean, you lost to the Giants for crying out loud on the road. You lost to Kansas City in this stretch by 27. You lost to Cincinnati by 21. You lost to the Washington football team last week. I don't know. I mean, I can't bet the Kansas City. I just can't. That's a lot of points to get. So I want to be there with you, and I likely will be. Divisional matchup, I think they'll be up for it more. I think they can cover the 10. I don't think they can win the game. I don't. And I'm probably hoping for brutal weather. The worse the weather, the better here to keep Kansas City down. I love the way Kansas City is playing on defense. I don't think the offense is quite at full tilt yet. And I think Kelsey's hurt, by the way. I think we're going to find out about this after the season. He's dealing with something. I don't know what it is, but something that's hindering him because he just does not look like the Kelsey of old. So I'm with you on Kansas City, but it'll be a small play because I just don't trust the Raiders.
Now, the total in the first game did go to the over. Now it's set at 47.5 minus 112 to the over on FanDuel. It's slightly juiced there. I still think 47.5 points, as good as this defense is for Kansas City. And without Waller in that lineup, you still have Edwards, you have Zay Jones, you have Hunter Renfrow, you have Derek Carr. They're going to look to try and score and get into a shootout and push tempo. I don't think they want to get into a lower scoring game, right? They had no problems opening it up in the first matchup. They felt like they can go toe-to-toe. So, I mean, 47.5 seems like a doable number in this ballgame.
It is doable, but we don't think the Chiefs' offense is quite a full gear. I know they scored 41 points against the Raiders last time. All right? And we know the Raiders' offense is not a full gear. They have been playing well lately. Is Waller going to play? Is he going to be at full strength? I think that's immense. I think he needs to be for here. So I'm probably going to pass on this. There's too many questions here. As far as the over-under, I'm probably going to leave that alone.
Okay, so we'll turn our attention. George and I both like the Raiders, or at least George leans to the Raiders in that matchup. I think the over does come in at 47.5. It is a 1 o'clock kick in Arrowhead this coming Sunday. We'll turn our attention to MetLife. The Army-Navy game takes place for the first time in the stadium on Saturday. On Sunday, Zach Wilson and Taysom Hill square off. Amazing. You saw the Eagles and Gardner Minshew just attack that secondary over the top. They tacked on 33 points on the Jets in that ballgame. Zach Wilson did finish with about 226 passing yards. He did a majority of that in garbage time. Taysom Hill coming off a 4-interception performance. Laying 5.5 on the road, I still buy in to the Saints defense. I don't know if the Jets can score here. Give me the Saints minus the 5.5, but I do feel that they utilize Taysom Hill on the ground, maybe control the clock. So now I lean to the under in this particular ball game. It is 43, juice to the under at minus 114 on FanDuel.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I think the under's coming in as well. I don't know if Taysom Hill, he can't throw the ball anyway in a normal circumstances. Without finger, I have no idea what's going to happen when he tries to toss the ball in the air. I think he'll run like crazy. I think he's a better fantasy quarterback than he is an NFL quarterback. That's really what it comes down to. The Jets offense, they're not going to have Coleman. They're not going to have Carter. They have all sorts of issues here. Elijah Moore may not play. I actually like the under a lot on this game. As far as the game itself, I'll take the Saints. I think, once again, they're the better team. I just think the Jets will make mistakes. The Saints defense will step up some to help out here. I don't love it, mind you. I think it's a lot to give up for an average Saints team on the road. But I guess, listen, if you want to say they're playing for their playoff lives here, it's sort of true in the quagmire that it is. They certainly can't afford any more losses. They're not going to the playoffs anyway, but they're stuck in that. Every team in the NFC South, other than the Buccaneers, at 5-7. So it's a must-win game for them. Can't lose to the Jets. Give me the Saints on the under.
You know what might be a good bet in this, if you could get it? Because I just looked on FanDuel, a defensive touchdown for New Orleans. You know, Zach Wilson minus some weapons. We know about that opportunistic defense. They forced a key interception against Dak Prescott in the second half. He threw an interception, Zach Wilson did, against Philadelphia. So, I mean, who's to say we can't get a pick six or a scoop and score? They did it against Mac Jones when Mac Jones was still coming on in that offense in Foxborough. So that might be a way to go. You might get maybe 4-1, 5-1 in terms of a defensive touchdown for the Saints in this ballgame. You see any value potentially in maybe that bet?
Well, I think when you're making a bet like this, you're looking for, you know, a dartboard throw when it happens. And as you said, we're going to get some picks. I don't think any doubt we're going to get picks. The question is, can they return it? Yeah, it's always the question, right? Zach Wilson's going to throw a pick or two. I would be shocked if he goes through this game and does not throw a pick or two, assuming he finishes the game. So, yeah, I don't mind this. I don't mind this at all because you're going to get, what, plus whatever. I haven't checked the numbers here. You're going to get a good plus number here, and it's got a shot at happening. It's not likely to happen. I'm not – when I make a bet like this, Joe, I'm not making it because I'm expecting to win. But I'm going to like the plus, and if I make this kind of bet in four different games that I really like the chances of a turnover happening, I'm assuming one. I just need one to get plus money right here. So that's what I'm playing here. So, yes, I don't mind this at all.
All right, so let's look at the ball game in Nashville because Tennessee basically 3 or 4 weeks ago was one of the hottest teams in the NFL. Even without Derrick Henry, they found a way to knock off the LA Rams on Sunday night, and it looked like this was the team to beat in the AFC. And now you look at two games back-to-back, two losses. They lose as a 10.5-point favorite to Houston a couple weeks ago, 22-13, followed up with a disappointing loss on the road in Foxborough as basically a 6.5-point underdog to the New England Patriots. Ryan Tannehill coming off a 93-yard passing performance. They've had a week to think about it. On the flip side, you have Jacksonville that's just absolutely terrible with Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. They're completely pathetic. They get blown out on the road in L.A. by Matt Stafford and the crew. Another 7 spot in that ballgame. Now they're catching 8.5 in this matchup. They were only 4.5-point dogs at home in the earlier matchup earlier in the season with Derrick Henry. I can only look Tennessee here. I would lean to the over 43.5. Again, I think, you know, if you're Tennessee, you don't want to run the football. That's right into the strength of the front seven of Jacksonville. Give me Tennessee in the over in this ballgame, 43.5 minus 114 on FanDuel.
Well, you said it. You're not going to bet Jacksonville in this game, right? So you're either betting Tennessee or you're not betting it, you know, as far as the game itself. I am with you on Tennessee, but, man, who's healthy and who's not? All right, I mean, Tennessee's a mash here. They're lucky they get a Jacksonville team here that they can beat, even with the players they have or don't have in this case. So, yeah, I'll go with Tennessee as well. But I don't love it, by the way, because, once again, if these guys do come back, I don't know if they're going to be a little rusty. It's going to take some time here. I think they're only going to win this game because of who they're playing. And the Jaguars are a mess. And I do wonder if Urban Meyer's even back next season. So I'm with you on Tennessee. Not likely to take the over-under again. I don't want to have much on this game. I'll take the Titans because they're the better team and they should be able to take care of business against Jacksonville. But I'm not in love with it by any means.
Yeah, right now, Tennessee to win the Super Bowl on FanDuel, 22-1. You never know if they get a hot Ryan Tannehill down the stretch. When we come back, we'll talk about the battle in the dog pound, Cleveland and Baltimore, coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
The last time Cleveland and Baltimore squared off a couple weeks ago, Lamar Jackson threw 4 interceptions, but it didn't matter. Baltimore did cover the 3.5, 4-point number in a home win, 16-10 over Baker Mayfield in the crew. Now the game moves to Cleveland. You remember last year in the dog pound, it was an absolute primetime thriller that went down to the final minutes. Lamar Jackson pulled that ball game out. Remember, he had to run to the bathroom where he had to take a leave of absence, came back in the fourth quarter to lead that victory. Baltimore right now is catching 2.5 points on the road, minus 104 on FanDuel, Cleveland minus 2.5, minus 118, George, which is pretty shocking. A significant favorite that FanDuel has instilled, 42.5, juice to the over at minus 112. As inconsistent as Lamar Jackson's been, I feel like Cleveland and their offense has been even worse. They haven't utilized Nick Chubb each and every week. Baker Mayfield, roll the dice. You never know what you're going to get. He claims he's healthy. I don't buy it. Even if he is, he still hasn't progressed and taken the next step. Give me Baltimore. It is back-to-back road games. They lost last week going for 2 against Pittsburgh. I think they're the better team entering week 14. I think they win this ball game outright. Also like them plus 124 on the money line.
Yeah, this is a weird one, right? Because I agree with everything you said about Cleveland. Baker's not healthy. We know that. All right, the entire team doesn't seem to be healthy other than the run game here. And Lamar Jackson has not played well, right? Didn't play well versus the Steelers last week. The first game versus Cleveland didn't play well. Sure, they're pulling out victories, but they're ugly wins. Granted, ugly wins are better than pretty losses, but still, I don't know if I can have any faith. I don't know if I have any faith in either one of these teams. That's my issue here. All right, so I don't think I'm betting the game itself. I'll let it go and see. I'll let it play out. Important game for both teams here. It's not like any team's taking this off. I guess if you force me to, Joe, I would take the points. Right? Generally, when I have no idea, I generally want to take the points here. I want to take the under here. I don't think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game, period. But the 42.5, boy, that seems to be right on the mark for me. I don't see any edge there to go in one way or the other. It's not going to be a bad weather day, at least not expected to be a bad weather day by the lake. So I'm probably going to leave this game alone, period, and not touch them.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at their schedule right now. Early on, they stepped up on the road, right? Knocked off Denver 23-7. They knocked off the Lions on the road, right? But then you look at some of the other games. They lose to Miami 22-10. Not good, right? They barely get by the Bears with the backup quarterback, Tyler Huntley. I mean, even though it was the Bears for the most part, I mean, they only scored 16 points in that matchup. I just, you know, if Cleveland can't run, they become one-dimensional, and then you're asking Baker to do multiple things that he hasn't done all season long. He's got 11 touchdowns on the year. I mean, 11 touchdowns. I know he's banged up. Landry's there. He doesn't have anybody else. I haven't seen Peoples-Jones step up. He hasn't gone to his tight end. Njoku's out for this matchup. 42.5. Yeah, I think definitely Baltimore. It's weird because I'm always inclined to take the over in ball games, but this one with two run-heavy offenses, again, I think you go to the under here at 42.5 minus 108, so I'm in agreement with you in that ball game. We'll see how it plays out, 1 o'clock kick. Battle in Carolina, Cam Newton came out and said he feels he's partly to blame for Matt Rhule firing offensive coordinator Joe Brady. He's no longer with the team. We'll see how that plays out in Carolina the rest of the way. If it wasn't Cam, it was the lack of progression for Sam Darnold. Remember one of the games right before Darnold left and went on the IR was a 172-yard performance and 3 interceptions against the New England Patriots. Cam Newton had that breakout game against Arizona, been downhill ever since. Carolina is the home favorite, -2.5 on FanDuel, taking on Matty Ice. I don't like the Falcons. I was on the Falcons last week. They almost scored that garbage touchdown to give them the backdoor cover. Kid drops the football. 41.5 is the total, George. Give me Carolina, and I do like the over here. I think this game sails through the 41 and the hook on FanDuel -110.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you on the over here as well. A little too low for me for these two teams. I don't know if Atlanta can stop anybody. All right, so they're going to give up points. I don't care who the quarterback is. And, Carolina, that team is just better, but Atlanta is going to have to throw the football left and right in this game. Give me the over. I just like the over in this game. As for the game itself, I think these are two bad teams, or two bad, maybe a strong word, but not good teams. How about that? And not average. So, it's at home. In this case, I'll take the Carolina Panthers. I think they're the better overall team. I don't know if it's Cam Newton's fault that Brady got fired. That was a weird situation, right? He was the best thing to slice bread in September. Then all of a sudden it went straight downhill and real quick.
He right? went straight down downhill like a
real
dart.
Quick there. Right.
Like he, a, God, he did.
Like a freaking anvil, right? Pff, done. Straight. I think there's something else happened there that we don't know about, a personality conflict there. We hear that, they wanted him to run the ball more. Well, you don't have McCaffrey. How are you going to run the ball more? All right. So maybe it is Cam's fault that way because he can't throw the football. So whatever, it is what it is. I think Matt Rhule is just feeling the pressure here on himself. Gave up all those picks for Sam Darnold, and boy, that rolled crap. So that didn't work out. And then, you sign Cam Newton. You don't have the offense really for him because it's not tailored to what his skills are. So not going well there in Carolina for Matt Rhule.
And the first game, remember, Carolina trailed 10-3. They made second-half adjustments. They won that ball game by 19-10. Remember, that was the P.J. Walker game where Sam Darnold, I believe, suffered a concussion at the end. He came on and basically mop-up duty for a couple of plays and series. But that defense stepped up against Matt Ryan and the crew. So maybe we get a duplicate effort. It was a lower-scoring game there. I'm going to buck the trend, though. 41.5, 21-20, right in that area, 23-20. I think they could surpass that. If you're Atlanta, you want to try and attack that secondary over the top. Cordarrelle Patterson, the old man, he'll probably have, what, multiple yards, over 100 rushing, receiving. He's the Swiss Army knife for that offense. We'll see how it plays out at 1 o'clock in Carolina. Georgia and I, you're taking the points or you're taking laying it with Carolina?
I think in this case, I'm going to take the home team. I just think they're the better team. I don't trust Atlanta whatsoever. By the way, you might want to figure out how to get Kyle Pitts involved in the game plan. I mean, yeah, this has been going on over a month. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that 800 receiving total could be in jeopardy over the last few weeks of the season. That was his preseason total if you banked on Kyle Pitts being a dynamic star. A game that I really like has your Dallas Cowboys, George. Your Cowboys, the inconsistent Dallas Cowboys, laying 4.5 against a red-hot Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team, minus 106 on FanDuel, 48, which I think is a pretty high total in this matchup, minus 110 either way. You look at Washington, that defense is buckled up, back-to-back wins over Las Vegas and Seattle, 17-15, total of 30 points allowed. But I like Dallas here. I like the speed of the Cowboys over the top. Logan Thomas out for the Washington football team. I don't care. They're playing better. Dak is the difference. They get it early and often. Double-digit win by Mike McCarthy and the crew.
Yeah, you know, now I'm a Cowboy fan, so I always try and look at this objectively. But I think anybody who listens to me anyway knows I'm as hard on the Cowboys as anybody. All right, they annoy me. They annoy the hell out of me, the Cowboys, than they have for really decades now under Jerry Jones. There's only two ways I can see the Cowboys losing this game. One, they generally come up small in big games, just the way it's been, you know, for quite a while now. And two, it's on the road. All right, Washington is playing well. But I'll ask you this, Joe Lisi. I know this is not fair, but can you name a position group on Washington that you would take over the Cowboys? There might be ones that are close to even, but a position group that you would take over the Cowboys as it stands right now.
How about the front seven? Montez Sweat, you got Jonathan Allen.
Can't go front seven. It's either defensive line or linebackers.
All right, defensive line.
Without Chase Young, I'm not doing
yes.
that. No, I'll take DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, to Randy Gregory. Easy.
Putting Parsons because he plays on the edge. We're considering him, even though he's tagged a linebacker, or is he a hybrid now?
He's a hybrid, so put him where you want.
If we're putting Parsons down on the defensive line, yes, I would say it's even. I think on a if they both play their A game, I think Washington can go toe to toe from the front seven. Linebacker's a little bit different. I believe Jamin Davis potentially. I think he's in concussion protocol for this ball game, so that's a day to day decision. Got to monitor that. That could be a big blow in run support. Maybe Zeke, maybe Pollard break out in this ball game. We'll say, George. Are you shocked at the total 48? I think that's pretty high for a Dallas Redskin. Excuse me, Washington football team. Game.
I agree with you there as well. Yeah. We all make that mistake. Come on. I'm glad when I go to a show and I don't make that mistake. I agree. I think it is a high. Dallas and Washington generally don't play high-scoring games in Washington. You know, in Dallas you might get something like that, but not in Washington. But Dallas offense is still broken. Right, it's not. It's far from fixed. It's the Dallas defense that's been playing lights out, outstanding. The offense is not hitting on all cylinders. Pollard's got the torn plantar fasciitis, and that's an injury where you need that to tear in half, which is it's one of those weird injuries. If it tears a little bit, it's immensely painful. If it tears in half, you feel much better. Yeah. I guess it's, as far as anatomy, it's just something you don't need. He's better off not having it. But I don't think that's happened yet, so can he play through that kind of pain? We know Ezekiel Elliott's got they're calling it a bone bruise, but it's something else. They're just not telling us. Apparently can't get worse. He's had 10 days off, but that's still going to be there. So the run game hasn't been very good, and Dak hasn't been very good at quarterback. He's missing throws. He's missing reads. And this is what that's why the Cowboys drive you nuts. You know, both teams play up to their capabilities. Dallas wins this game easy. But it's hard to see Dallas doing that. Washington on a four-game heater here. That being said, I agree with you. I like the Cowboys. They're the better team. And I like the under as well.
Ooh, we'll see how that one plays out. When we come back, we'll round out the 1 o'clock action. Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks, 8.5-point favorites against Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mills, and the Houston Texans. 41 is the total coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks got a much-needed home win over Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. Seattle stepped up as a 3.5-point home dog, wins that ballgame 30-23. Wilson with a 231-yard performance. You saw Tyler Lockett step up. Eskridge, the Western Michigan wide receiver, scored a touchdown as well. Now they go on the road, laying a huge number against the Houston Texans that got absolutely abused by Jonathan Taylor and the Indianapolis Colts. Couldn't cover the 10.5-point underdog spot against Carson Wentz and the crew. Now they're catching 8.5 to the Seattle Seahawks. I can only look Seattle here. It's -106 if you're going to lay the 8.5. 41 is the total. Juice to the under at -114. Oof. That's tough because I think Seattle could score 40 if they open it up, if they allow DK and that those playmakers to at least stretch that secondary. They have no running game, right? So that's the weakness of Houston. That's why they were able to beat Tennessee. Give me Seattle, and I'm going to take the over, George.
I'm with you on both here. With you on both. I said you can only take Seattle in this game. I think Seattle's, I think Russell Wilson's getting better. I don't think he's completely healthy yet, but he's getting better. And either way, either Russell Wilson, whether a broken Russell Wilson or a getting better Russell Wilson, he'll take care of business in this game here. I'm certainly not sold on Mills being the quarterback. I understand he might be better than Taylor, but they don't have a quarterback. That's the bottom line here. They're just finishing out the string here. Give me the Seahawks. And I think, once again, I think Houston can do just enough here, just enough on offense to get us that over. So I agree.
Yep, we'll see how that game plays out. That's the last of the 1 o'clock action this coming weekend. 4 o'clock action, a mile high. Denver and Vic Fangio break it up. He scored 9 points this weekend. In Vic's mind, he thinks he actually knocked off Kansas City this Sunday. That's a win if you're Vic Fangio and the Denver Broncos. Now they lay 10 points to the red hot, and I mean absolutely smoking, Jared Goff, Dan Campbell coming off that 2-point home win over Zimmer and the crew. They now have covered, I believe, 4 straight games. Or maybe it's 5 straight for the Detroit Lions, but there's been a flu bug early on for the team. It potentially hit a bunch of players. I don't care. 10 points against just terrible Vic Fangio, one-dimensional. Give me Detroit, and give me the over 42.5. Whoever starts, I think they open it up. They have a better offensive game plan than the Denver Broncos.
You know what? I'm with you here. Detroit actually has been very good. They've been very good to us this year, right? They cover. They may be a terrible football team, but they cover. And I think it's just too big. Just too big for a Broncos team. It's not, even when they win, they don't blow, well, they generally don't blow people out of the building here. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on Detroit. You know, it's funny. I'm a little worried that they're maybe a little too up after winning last week. You know, they celebrated all week, got their victory, and now they won't show up in this game in Denver in the thin air and all that. But still, I have no choice. I don't trust the Broncos enough to lay 10 points. Give me the Lions.
Yeah, I like the over a little bit more because of the flu bug. Like you mentioned, maybe they give up some yards, maybe in terms of an endurance level, even though they're in the ballgame, maybe both teams can move the football against opposing secondary. So we'll see how that one does play out. New York Giants, former Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm gets the start on the road. Possibly no Mike Williams, right? He's on the COVID list. Looks like Keenan Allen will not play for Justin Herbert and the L.A. Chargers. Could be a heavy dose of Austin Eckler. Line open up at 10.5 on FanDuel. Down right now currently to 9.5. -114 in favor of the Chargers. Total came down from 44 and a hook down to 43, -110 either way. I can only look L.A. Giants suck. Joe Judge sucks. The whole offense sucks. Give me the Chargers and the over in this ballgame.
I would probably be much heavier on the Chargers if not for Williams and Allen. And Williams is a close contact. He should play. Allen's more dicey. He needs those two negative tests in 24 hours. It doesn't matter. Chargers win the game either way. But if those guys are healthy, I would love them even more because I think it's going to be a complete blowout. What can Jake Fromm do, assuming he is the quarterback? All right, what can he do? He's been there a week. You can't know the offense in a week. No, Chargers here in a walk. This is a absolute parlay for me. Oh, I can't bet the Chargers straight. Not with that, but it's a parlay opportunity. Find another game you really like here and go Chargers. And then maybe a teaser, too, if you want to go that way. So many different ways to play this, but Chargers, they should win this fairly easily. Even they can't Charger this.
Sneaky interconference game taking place in Ohio with Cincinnati. We saw the Bengals lose that ball game 41-22 to the LA Chargers as a 3.5-point home favorite. Now here comes Jimmy Graps, fresh off 299 yards on the road in Seattle. They did lose that ball game. George Kittle, 181 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns. Back-to-back road games for San Fran. They're laying 1.5 in Cincinnati. Let's keep in mind, it's a 4 o'clock kick. National television. Give me Joe Burrow. This is what the stage that Joe Burrow lives for. I'm taking the home dog plus the 1.5 outright, plus 108 on the money line. And you know what? I think it goes over the 48 and a hook at minus 114 as well.
So you're going to hate me because I agree. Once again, I'm with you right here. I'm on Cincinnati. I think no Eli Mitchell in this game. I don't think Deebo Samuel is going to be anywhere near full strength. If he does play, which we won't know until later on today, let's see if he practices. Shanahan thought he was going to practice on Thursday. He did not. So that's not going well here. I mean, you're missing arguably two of your best weapons, if not the best weapons, other than Kittle on that team. No. I think they're going to need to score points. I don't think they'll be able to stick with Cincinnati. The only hesitation I have is the pinky injury to Burrow. Ugly last week, but I think he's okay. I think it's over. San Fran can be beat in their secondary. That's where their weakness is. And I think Cincinnati takes advantage of it. Give me the Bungles at home.
All right. Marquee battle taking place in Tampa. Touchdown, Tom Brady. Tampa Bay. They get the victory, the win, and the cover over Atlanta. Actually, back-to-back covers on the road. They get the cover against Indianapolis as basically a 3.5-point road favorite. They win by 7. They follow that up with a 13-point win last week against Matty Ice and the crew. Look at Buffalo, right? Terrible performance against Bill Belichick in New England. 200-plus yards, only 3 passes by Mac Jones. Now Josh Allen and the crew catching 3.5, plus 146 on the money line. 53.5 the total on FanDuel. Minus 112 to the over. It looks like Tom Brady's going to win this right now. Give me Buffalo. Tampa Bay rushing attack with Rojo and Leonard Fournette inconsistent. That's how you have to beat Buffalo. I think the Bills step up in a big way. They make it known they're still one of the top teams. They win this ball game by potentially 4-7 points.
Yeah, I think we get the over here. All right, I feel confident saying it's going to be a lot of points scored for both teams here, especially with Tre'Davious White gone for Buffalo, so that it weakens their secondary there. And we know the way to beat Tampa Bay. They're getting a little bit healthier in their secondary, but the way to beat them is through the air. It's funny. You know, where everybody and their mother criticized the Buffalo Bills for not being able to run the ball on against the Patriots on Monday night. Well, you're not going to be able to run the ball here either. Not against this team. And like I said, I'd be shocked if Buffalo doesn't take a running back early in the draft next year or signs a top free agent running back, because they have to diversify that offense. And Zach Moss and Singletary aren't the answer there. So I think points are coming here. I think it's coming through the passing game. I think this line stinks, smells, it's fishy, because why is the Tampa Bay favored by more? I mean, short week for Buffalo, Tampa Bay playing at home. You know, it's a big game for Tampa. They still need to win here to get the top seeding here. The division's over. So it just stinks. I think it's going to be more than 3 here. So I'm going to take the Bucs, but I think it stinks to high heaven. There's always a line in my mind that stinks every week, and this is the one. You know, I can't see Tampa Bay being flat. I mean, I can see Buffalo being pissed. Like, this is a game they have to win. Their chances for a division are pretty much shot now that they lost to the Patriots, but they do get to play them again. But if they lose this game, you know, their wild card opportunities start to come into question here. So they have to show up better. That being said, I got to take the Buccaneers. If it was in Buffalo, I would take Buffalo. In Tampa Bay, I'll take Tampa Bay. But like I said, I'm the first to admit this line stinks.
Yeah, I think it's about right, but we'll see. I mean, again, I need to see Josh Allen utilize his legs in this ballgame.
Yes.
I think that can open up the rushing attack for Singletary.
Where was that Monday night?
I don't know. I don't know what the game plan was Monday night. I really don't. I watched that ball game. They moved the football. He made throws when he had to. But then the penalties hurt. the lack of aggressiveness once they were inside the red zone. I mean, you could utilize Josh Allen when they were inside the 30. They really didn't do that. I have no idea, but they need to turn it around in a big way. A team that's flat, George, is Chicago. We know that. You never get their A effort. What is their A effort at this point? Andy Dalton, 4 picks last week. They lose, catching 7.5 to Arizona. Never in that ballgame in the first half. Good day by David Montgomery. He had 90 yards on the ground. I was on Chicago in this ballgame last year, okay? Now, they got absolutely ripped by Green Bay in this matchup. Trubisky started, we know. Allen Robinson did step up in this matchup last year, had 2 receiving touchdowns, actually, in that ballgame in mop-up duty. He returns to that lineup. Maybe it's Fields, maybe it's Dalton, but remember, Aaron Rodgers says he owns the Chicago Bears, right? What's his record, 22-3 against Chicago, or something crazy like that?
He does own them.
If you're Chicago, you got a man up. You better step up and find a way to cover this number. They're beaten down. They're ugly. They lost by 10, catching 6.5 last time in your house. They doubled it up now in Lambeau. I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to back Matt Nagy here. Somehow, some way, they keep it within 12, and it's a dead under. 43, Green Bay will run, Chicago will run. Give me the Bears and the under in this ballgame.
All I can say is I will thank Matt Nagy so much for saying you'll start Fields in this game and not Dalton. Because if I had to watch 3 hours of Dalton Sunday night, Joe, I don't think I'd be able to do a show with you on Monday because I would probably jump off the nearest bridge or my roof or both. So thank you for that. I think what you said is correct. I think, once again, Chicago is going to try and make this a shortened game. Run the ball with Fields. Run the ball with Montgomery. Keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. There's no Randall Cobb in this game, for those who cares. He has core muscle surgery. Apparently, he's out for quite a while. Whatever that the definition of that is to you. I think Green Bay wins the game fairly easily, and I have no problem. This is that parlay game you want to make with the Chargers. You know, as far as that's concerned, I think you'll cash in there. The question is, can they cover? That is a high spread, 12 points. I don't think I feel confident enough in the Bears to say yes or no. So I'm leaving the game alone here. I think the Bears win easily, but I'm not doing it. And as far as the over-under,
primetime game, you know. You're taking the over. Every time I take a Bear over, he runs it every play. That's why I can't stand them. That's partly because one of the reasons. He attaches his car and play calls to David Montgomery, the offensive line. It's like, Matt, you're down by 17 points. Run, run, run. He's like Vic Fangio. I told you, throw Vic Fangio, Joe Judge, and Matt Nagy in a room and just lock them out. You know, because at the end of the day, you're not missing anything from their tutelage or their play calling expertise in any one of those coaches moving forward. All right. Monday night game is L.A. and Arizona. Matt Stafford bounced back in a big way. Granted, it was Jacksonville. And let's throw a block party. He didn't throw a pick six in 4 straight games. The boy wonders back on track. He abused Urban Meyer and Jacksonville. On the flip side, Kyler Murray broke out. 4 touchdowns, 2 through the air, 2 on the ground. Arizona -2 and over 51.5, Georgie boy.
Yeah, once again, I'm with you here. They beat up the first time. They'll beat him up again. They're healthy. Give me Zona.
All right. When we come back, George and I will give you our best bets for week number 14. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
All right, wrapping up today's show. We went through every single game. Going to give our best bets now. I bounced back in recent weeks. I feel pretty good about these selections this weekend. We talked about that NFC East battle. Dak, Taylor, Heineke lined open up at Dallas -4. It's up to 4.5. I don't care. I think the Cowboys are the more complete team. I know Washington playing a little bit better down the stretch. They're at 500. Cowboys are the class of the division. I'm laying the 4.5 points with the Cowboys in that matchup. Detroit catching 10 points on the road against Vic Fangio. I can't stand Vic Fangio. I think he sucks. Detroit has a flu bug. I don't care. Double digits. I like Detroit plus the points in this matchup. Baltimore won the first meeting against Cleveland. Now the game goes to the dog pound. They're catching 2.5 points. I think Lamar Jackson steps up. He finds a way to cover that number. I think they win outright over Baker and the crew. Buffalo plus the 3.5. I know that performance on Monday night was pathetic. Tom Brady and that offense still a little bit one-dimensional. I think Buffalo finds a way to win that matchup. Give me the Bills plus the 3.5 and the Raiders plus the 10 points against Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not that bad. Raiders keep it within the number in Arrowhead this weekend.
You know, I always find it funny. You and I, we generally agree on most of our, well, I should say most, but 2/3 of our bets, which would be most. Yet we never have the same top bets, though. And I'm not avoiding one just because you said it, though, as far as my favorites here. I do have Dallas. Boy, I hate saying that as a Cowboy fan. It just makes me nervous to pick my own team here. That they're going to screw me like 2-3 times. They'll lose. I'll lose money on the game, and I just will not be happy Sunday night. But give me Dallas. I said, I think they're just the better team. I think Washington's just on a heater. That's it here. So give me Dallas. I'm going to go in Arizona, -2. I think they're the better team over the Rams, too. Why, we're all back on the Rams because they beat Jacksonville? Yay, good for you. No, thank you. I'm going to go Cincinnati plus 1.5 as well. I like the Bengals this week. I'm also going a couple over-unders here. Give me the under. Jets, Saints 43, and the Dallas under 48. I kind of like the Seattle Houston over 41, too, but I won't put that in best.
All right, for George Kurtz, our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.